This is Transit Unplugged. I'm Paul Comfort. Welcome to the second part of our series from Kansas City. Last week, we interviewed the KCATA CEO, or the Kansas City Area Transportation Authority, Chief Executive Officer, Frank White III. He told us all about the Transit Authority. Today, we speak with Tom Guerin, who is Executive Director of the KC Streetcar. It's a separate organization, but they run in concert with the Transit Authority, and their routes do intersect at a number of places. The KC Streetcar is a great streetcar program that is in the middle of a major expansion, and Tom tells us all about it. We start out at their fantastic Union Station. If you ever go to Kansas City, you've got to visit their Union Station. Not only is it got a fantastic infrastructure, I mean, they don't build buildings like this anymore, this big grand hall that, you know, reminds you of like a palace of some type. But they've got all kinds of things going on there. They've got a model train exhibit that is amazing, and they have a science museum, an IMAX theater, all kinds of things. He tells us all about that and the history there. Then we go outside and get on board his sleek, modern streetcars, which are fantastic. We take a ride on them. He tells us all about the program and the program for expansion and how the streetcar program works. And then we get off for lunch at the Streetcar Cafe, where he tells us some about his background and his vision for the system going forward. Hey, if you like what you hear and you want to see it, be sure to watch our companion video on April's episode of Transit Unplugged TV on YouTube. We show you behind the scenes of the streetcar and the Transit Authority, plus the blues music, the jazz music, some of the great barbecue at Gates Barbecue, all the things you'd want to see about Kansas City and what ties it all together, their public transportation program. That's on our companion video, which is Transit Unplugged TV this month on YouTube. Now, jump on board the streetcar with me as we go inside Union Station with Tom Guerin. All right, I'm with Tom Guerin, who is Executive Director of the Kansas City Streetcar. And Tom, we are in your fantastic Union Station.
This place is amazing, isn't it? It's beautiful.
Tell me about it.
Well, this building is over 100 years old. Obviously, it was formed, really our third train station in Kansas City. The two others were destroyed by fire and flood.
Oh, wow.
The railroads came together over 100 years ago to form this amazing building. It operated for decades, providing millions of people trips across the country.
This was like a central terminus in the middle of the country.
Yeah, right? One of the biggest train stations in the country, still one of the biggest active
Amtrak stations. Yeah.
And hard to believe in the 80s, this building went into complete disrepair. It was vacated, almost demolished, until our regional leadership came together to fund a bi-state tax to preserve and restore this amazing place.
Well, that's unusual, a bi-state tax.
It's the first time ever in Kansas City. We've not been able to replicate that model for anything else since that time. And the results have been phenomenal. This place is the front door for our city. It's the living room. It's where we celebrate. It's obviously where we connect with public transportation and other...
And your streetcars here,
in
right?
Our streetcar.
Yeah. Now, we're just walking in this... Yeah. What's this called? The Grand Hall?
This is the Grand Hall of Union Station. Yeah, this was the former waiting room for passengers who would be traveling across the country on dozens of rail lines that fed this station 100 years ago.
And for our listeners, it's a long Grand Hall. Picture something like, what is it, a football field long, something like that?
Yeah, it's over.
And there's doors all the way down. Each of these doors, Tom, you were telling me, that would be your train to go to
That would access the platform underneath the station.
Okay.
We have dozens of platforms under the station, so we could boarding dozens of trains at a time right underneath the station. Each one of these doors would access that train platform for that destination.
Amazing. And yeah. Now it's like a big marble auditorium almost, and you said
it's
all
really
kinds of,
it's a cathedral.
Yeah,
you know,
we
use it now to program concerts, major activity centers. Think of the NFL draft, think of parades for World Series and Super Bowls. We celebrate all of those things right here.
You told me all the NFL players were in here.
Yeah,
when you did the parade. This
right,
was kind of their waiting area.
Sort of a waiting area for players and staff. But we use it in Christmas time. Amazing decorations to bring and lights to bring the community out, celebrate the beautiful Union Station and some amazing attractions. There's also a science center. There's exhibits, rolling exhibits. Disney's coming. We're going to have a Disney exhibit here in a short period of time. So just really amazing use of this facility that has made really been, you know, it's a postcard for Kansas City. Almost yeah. every picture that you see now has this building centered front and center, and it's for a reason.
So in addition to an active train station with Amtrak and with your streetcar, tell us about, like, we just walked through an amazing trains. They're not toy trains. What do you call them?
Well, yeah, model train model exhibit. Train. So there's, like I said, part of the education, there's in the Science Center, but also up here is just different aspects of our railroading history as as a city and as a region, and the role that we played and served in connecting the country from east to west, to really at a point right in the, and now north to south, right in the middle of the country. So it's cool, and kids love it, but there's also a lot of things to do. And importantly, it's the jumping off point, really symbolizes how our city was connected to the country, and now it's a centerpiece into how we're connecting ourselves with streetcar expansion and transit service within the region.
And you got an IMAX theater here?
We've got an IMAX theater, a planetarium, all sorts of fun stuff for people to do.
So if you come to Kansas City, you got to come visit the Union Station.
You got to come to Union Station. Yeah. It's the first stop.
All right. So we're at Union Station, which is the terminus, the ending terminus of your streetcar, right?
That's correct. The, the current location is the southern terminus of our 2.2-mile streetcar. It's also going to be the jumping-off point for our 3.5-mile extension south to the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and the Country Club Plaza.
Is that what you just had a groundbreaking on?
No, that's a different project.
Okay, tell me about that.
That's the northern extension, which is really taking off from the River Market on the north end down to Berkeley Riverfront Park. And amazing things that are happening there with a new women's soccer stadium, thousands of new residential developments activating along our riverfront. We had turned our river, our backs to the river for a long time. We're here at the station talking about the impacts of railroads. We're also right on the Missouri River. It's Lewis and Clark. It's where our city was founded. For years, it was a dumping ground, a literal dumping ground. Wow. We're now activating it with development, with beautiful park and trail systems. And pretty soon, in 2 short years, we're going to have a streetcar connection right to the riverfront and all of those great things that are happening on the northern side. So together, those projects really bookend each other, extending our current system north and south. We'll be growing our system from 2.2 miles to 6.5 miles long. And it really will be through the densest residential neighborhoods, connecting the largest employment centers in our city, and really will serve as a spine for a regional transit system that's multimodal, not just streetcar connecting, bus, paratransit service, regional services, and obviously Amtrak here right at the station.
All right, Tom, we're outside the amazing Union Station, and you've got some construction going on right out here. What's happening?
Yes, we do. So we're at our southern terminus of the downtown starter line, and we're looking south at our Main Street Extension project. We're getting ready to actually construct a crossover here in the middle of the intersection. This will be where the 3.5-mile southern extension connects with our existing 2.2-mile project. Over the course of the next number of months. So this is where we're marching south, and this is right where that connection of the new and the old will be happening, right here in front of Union Station.
All right, and so this is where your construction is going on. What's all the rail that's already there?
So this is old streetcar rail that we're pulling out of the ground as we're building new. The 3.5-mile southern extension is connecting to the old, and the symbolism really is not lost on anybody. The construction guys in particular, our city was built around streetcar system. We had over 300 miles of streetcars connecting development, leading development. Our city was really built around transportation and transit and streetcar infrastructure. And so the fact that we're pulling out infrastructure that's 100 plus years old, laying new infrastructure that's going to be here for decades and generations to come, reconnecting ourselves in that very same way, with the same kind of power, is again not lost on anybody who's been involved. Really a symbolic and meaningful physical reconnection for our city, and is happening right here in front of Union Station.
So Tom, we just stepped on your streetcar. By the way, this is beautiful. How old are these cars?
Well, these cars, we've been in operation just about 8 years now. So these are 8 years old. We started with 4, we now have 6. We're buying 8 more cars, the same model, Kafka, those 3. to support the expansion of the system and really a maintenance and the shortening of our headways on the existing alignment.
So, what's your current headways? How often?
So we're running 10 to 12 minutes right now, okay. 7 days a week, pretty much all day long. So
wow, that's awesome.
Frequency and coverage of hours is really important. It's a lesson learned. And when we started this system, it was designed and intended to be a real transportation connector for downtown. This wasn't a novelty. It wasn't nice to have. It was fundamental transportation, and our ridership and the response from the community has really demonstrated that to be true. So these three cars are, again, CAF Airbus 3. They're 78 feet long. They can hold about 220 people. AW3 are fully loaded, and running every 10 minutes, we can carry a lot of people downtown. We're averaging over 5,000 passenger trips a day right now, post-COVID, and continuing to grow year over year. So some days down here, depending on what's happening downtown, we're carrying 15 or 18,000 trips in a single day on a 2-mile system. So you can see why we needed more than four cars when we started. We didn't have sufficient capacity, and now we're extending the route in both directions. What's unique about these cars is they're 100% low floor.
I see that. So we're at level.
So we have level boarding at the platform. So roll on, roll off with wheelchairs, bikes, and strollers, and no steps on board the car. It's really one of the only cars in North America that's 100% low floor. We're seeing a lot of this technology in terms of the vehicle platforms in Europe move to all low floor vehicles. We've been a little bit slower to adapt in the United States, and we're seeing the benefits, the accessibility benefits of this model and this design of car. And so we're all in on growing this fleet. We love not just the accessibility, but we have four doors on each side of the car. So you'll notice some of our platforms are outside, some are center boarding. So we have four doors on both sides of the car, and it creates for great accessibility and great utilization of our space inside the car. So many of the three cars in the space are a little bit shorter. Many of them only have doors in the middle because they have steps on the end. And in those cases, those work too, but you don't have the same kind of capacity to get large numbers of people on and off quickly like we have here with our configuration.
We recently interviewed Congressman Earl Blumenauer, who talked about streetcars in Portland.
Yeah.
Is the streetcar movement, is it a movement? Could I call it that?
Well, I think so. I think you've seen systems pick up the lessons learned from Portland, the importance of streetcars, the role they can serve in the broader transportation framework. It's not the solution for every transit problem. You know, we're the first to say it works very well for what we are trying to accomplish downtown with connectivity, mobility, economic development. It's not the mode that you would take 30 miles on a commuter express trip or, a regional light rail line might serve or a commuter line might serve. But for urban core connections and activation and development, we've seen great benefits with this. And we're growing. Obviously, we're tripling the size. The other thing I would say is we're seeing a more and more of a blurring of the lines. So what makes streetcars is they're street running. So we're running right now, getting ready to take off, running in the middle of Main Street with mixed traffic.
Yes.
But as we plan a Main Street extension, the vast majority of that alignment is going to be exclusive lane to transit only. We'll have access for some parking and for business access. So it's not fully dedicated like you would see a light rail line, but it's a majority exclusive guideway. And so some of the operational characteristics are starting to move more towards light rail in many instances.
Yeah.
As we think about how do we spread the reach of the system, how do we go faster, how do we move more people, and a lot of that isn't just vehicle technology, it's the operating environment. What are we doing in the street? What are we doing with single priority, with shared lanes or dedicated lanes? And how we're managing the system in the public right-of-way is a big part of it.
Now, I noticed when I came on, I didn't have to pay anything. What's the deal with that?
Right. Yeah, so we are a no-fare system. We've been no-fare since we opened in 2016. And we're really, one of the reasons we can do that is we're funded through a revenue capture district, a transportation development district. And so we're really fortunate. We have a long-term dedicated revenue stream. These businesses right outside the windows here are paying a property tax and a sales tax on their properties and on their transactions. That funds some of our capital costs, but also 100% of our operations and maintenance.
Wow.
And so what does that mean from a fair standpoint?
Yeah.
It means the more people we push to those businesses, the more those people buy from those businesses. And guess what? The more we collect from sales tax from those transactions.
Wow, it's win-win.
So it really is a symbiotic relationship.
Next stop.
Where we remove the barrier to use, we push people to the system, they go to businesses to support local businesses, and we collect revenue on the back end. I like to call it an indirect fare on the economic activity we're stimulating. So we're charging a fare, but we're charging it through the sale of goods at local businesses, and that's great for small business.
Yeah.
And it's great for us to make it really easy to ride. We think the fare policy in our case, because our route is relatively short, right? The elasticity of the utilization and ridership is great. So if we were to charge a fare, we might lose 30 to 40% of our ridership because our trips are short. People have choices.
Yeah.
And by allowing people the easy ability to hop on and hop off, guess what? They take more trips, they stay on longer, they explore downtown.
Less cars.
And one of the things that's great about this system is it connects four independent districts that were all like Union Station. We're here in the Crossroads, but we're going to the downtown loop and then the City Market. All of those were divided from the other by some sort of physical barrier, interstate, a railroad track. They were independent, authentic, very interesting districts in their own right, but we'd be able to unify downtown by connecting those districts together. So Union Station is connected to downtown, the Crossroads Art District is connected, and the City Market. So all of these things that are authentically Kansas City are now part of a unified experience that people can explore and enjoy. And it's one of the reasons why our system, we knew and thought we would have great utilization, and it's been better than we ever anticipated. What we didn't know is the psychological effect for how our system would redefine downtown. Literally, how people experience it, how they engage with it, where they visit. And we've highlighted all of these unique and authentic Kansas City items.
So. Such as a wrap with your football team on.
Well, that's our soccer team, Sporting Kansas City. So we have, that's the men's team.
Okay.
And we're wrapping a car as we speak for the women's team, the KC Current.
Which is going to be, you're building a stadium, which is the only women's stadium in America?
That's exactly right. On Berkeley Riverfront, the KC Current is building the only women's stadium in the country. Purpose-built stadium, and we're going to be connecting that with our northern extension of the Riverfront Extension project that we just broke ground down a week ago.
Here's an interesting question. Do you let bikes on here?
We let bikes, strollers,
wheelchairs,
and that's the beauty of this vehicle platform is it's roll-on and roll-off.
That's great, man.
And we can carry a lot of people, a lot of wheelchairs, a lot of bikes. You know, having the capacity to move hundreds of people every few minutes, depending on our frequency at the time, it's been a great people mover. This is the Power and Light District. So behind us is our arena here.
See,
that's the T-Mobile Center in the Power and Light District, which is a
bar and restaurant district.
Now fully connected, obviously, to the downtown experience and everything that we're doing on the existing project and obviously on the expansion. We're getting ready next week to launch the Big 12 basketball tournaments, the conference basketball tournaments, which is a big deal. Streetcar plays an important role connecting people to those venues where we have teams from all over the country coming in, women's and men's, over the course of the next 2 weeks to enjoy all that Kansas City has to offer, and we have become a big part of that.
Tom, it's amazing. How long have you been doing streetcars?
Well, it's a good question. I actually started doing the planning for this downtown route back in 2010 with the MPO, Mid-America Regional Council. This project took off, and I came over in 2014 to support the launch of the Downtown Starter Line. So I've been with the streetcar in full-time capacity almost 10 years, but working on it even longer than that. And obviously, we've got a lot of pieces moving. The team has grown significantly beyond one, and that's exciting to see.
So you're a proud papa. This is your baby, huh?
It is a little bit.
Yeah,
it is. There's a lot of people. As you know, these things only happen if everybody's rowing in the same direction, and it takes a village. So the KCHEA, friend Frank White III over there, has been instrumental partners. The city of Kansas City, Missouri has been partners. And then obviously all of our downtown ratepayers who are paying into our district, who voted to say we want a streetcar, are the reason that we're here riding the system today.
Now, is the streetcar entirely in Missouri?
It is. Yeah, right now, It's all exclusively in Kansas City, Missouri, south of the river. We have studies looking north that would conceivably connect into the city of North Kansas City. We also have east-west studies that we're looking at, partnership with the HCA, that would conceivably look at connecting with KU Med Complex in Kansas across the state. So obviously regional travel patterns don't stop at the city line, the state line, or the county line, and so connecting the regional opportunities is key. And then obviously as we plan to grow the system over time, inevitably many of our trips that our regional employees and residents take are crossing those jurisdiction lines, and so we got to be planning for that as well.
All right, Tom, we just stepped off. Beautiful streetcar, man. I got to tell you, it's state-of-the-art, beautiful. And I noticed you have catenary wires above. Is the whole thing electric that way, like powered like that?
The whole thing is powered overhead with overhead catenary and OCS, car pantograph. We looked at some options, you know, when we started 10 years ago. Technology on the battery side was still evolving, and it wasn't to the point where we had enough confidence in it. We really haven't had any issues, and frankly, the reliability, you know, we've got a pretty hilly system. People don't think of Kansas City necessarily as hilly. It's hilly. So we've got a lot of grades. We also have cold temperatures below zero and over 100 degrees. So the HVACs, you know, heating, cooling, we put a lot of demands on these cars and carrying a lot of heavy loads with a lot of passengers. So the overhead power has really, frankly, served us well from a reliability standpoint. And I think as we're forecasting out life cycle costs of these vehicles, we do have some battery capacity there for certain circumstances, for short distances, but they aren't off-wire capable, so to speak. But that saves us significantly in terms of life cycle costs on battery replacements and maintenance over time. So they've worked well for us.
And how did it work getting your power company to give you all this power?
Well, we're paying for it.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
You know,
do they have enough capacity, or they have to build new generators?
We have four substations on the downtown alignment, and we had to do some work to upgrade their networks,
to feed
those with the appropriate level of power and reliability. We wanted to make sure, obviously, if we needed to move, we got to have it all the time. And so they've been a great partner. And again, we're a big user of theirs now. And
you're a top 10 customer.
Yeah, we're a big customer. We're buying a lot of power. Yeah. Better that than diesel fuel.
All right, Tom, so we're here at
the Streetcar Grill.
Tell us about where we're at.
So we're in a restaurant called the Streetcar Grill. It was a former service parking lot right behind a streetcar stop, and it's just one of many illustrations of the power of transportation to build communities. So we were a lot of skeptics around economic development in streetcars when we started.
And up on the wall is a screen that's not working right now, but we hope it will be soon. And what does that screen show us? And tell us about how you do that.
It's our streetcar arrival sign. So we have developed a third-party application where we can put a program on a fire stick.
Thank you. Have a good
one. And we can program a fire stick to a station stop up and down our route, give them to businesses, and they can just plug them into TVs, and it'll automatically feed real-time arrival information for their stop right out their front door so their visitors can monitor the schedule, the upcoming, how much time they have left to get to the station for the next arrival, and it's worked out great. And, you know, we've got a restaurant on a former service parking lot that's doing pretty well.
Yeah, that tells a story, huh?
I think it tells a story, but it's obviously all about bringing people and jobs back downtown. It's a big part of why we chose streetcar as the mode for solving this transportation problem. And to see the energy, the ridership, the economic investment, we've seen over $3 billion of active development, 40% increase in residential density within three blocks of the route over the last 8 years. So we are growing a neighborhood downtown that's now transit accessible and connected. People can live car-free or car-light if they choose. It's an option.
You were telling me there's a hotel right across the street with no parking.
That's exactly right. We removed parking restrictions down here. We've got a hotel that was built without incentives, with no parking as part of it, right behind a streetcar stop, connected to everything. People can come in, Like an Uber from the, you know, airport, coming down, whatever. I don't need a car to pretty much do anything down here. You're fully connected. It's part of their pitch now in their competitive advantage of having that location right on our route. So yeah. It's been the transformation, and it's one of the compelling reasons why the community has embraced growing it. You know, there's a lot of skepticism and fear. People wouldn't ride it. It's too expensive. Our city's too auto-centric. Well, we're carrying, some days we're carrying 15,000 people downtown. Over half of our city residents have ridden the streetcar in the last year. People are using it in spades, and now they're wanting us to grow the impact. And we get to try to manage that dynamic now of how do we grow the system intelligently where it makes sense, and how do we connect ourselves to all of the other services that the region has to offer.
That's great. So it's the power of placemaking, isn't it? Where the streetcar is making a place, making downtown into a place.
It's a place. It's redefined. It's our linking of these four districts together, River Market, Union Station, Downtown Loop, and Crossroads together, has really connected the most authentic best of Kansas City for people and visitors and residents to have easy access to. So we've elevated the best of what our city has to offer and connected people to it, and is really in the process of redefining downtown in many respects.
And you told me that was really what got you into transportation to start with, right?
That's exactly right. I started with on the regional planning front, I really focused more on community development and planning through regional planning commissions. And I got into transportation because of the power of transportation. I came to Mid-America Regional Council here in Kansas City almost 20 years ago to lead the region's long-range transportation plan. And as part of that, I focused on transit and moving that forward.
What a great career story, Tom, moving from planning into really placemaking here in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's not very often you get to plan a project, watch it come to fruition, support its operation, support its expansion. So I've been really blessed and humbled to be just a part of something that's really changed the face of Kansas City. And we like to say we're building a system for future generations. So seeing young kids growing up now, this is the norm in Kansas City. That's pretty powerful, amazing opportunity. So just excited to be here.
That's wonderful. Well, it's an honor to speak with you today. You're doing it right here in Kansas City, baby.
Well, thanks for coming to Kansas City. You're welcome back anytime.
Hi, this is Tris Hussey, editor of the Transit Unplugged podcast, and thank you for listening to this episode of Transit Unplugged with our guest, Tom Gerrand of KC Streetcar. Now, coming up next week on the show, we have something a little different. We have a mayor on the show. In fact, Oklahoma City Mayor David Holt. And he tells us about their new BRT line, their new light rail line, and how he's engaging businesses to make it all happen. Hey, are you following Transit Unplugged on social media or getting our newsletter? Just head over to transitunplugged.com, and all the links to sign up for all the places where you can follow us are right there. Transit Unplugged is brought to you by Medaxo. At Medaxo, we're passionate about moving the world's people. At Transit Unplugged, we're passionate about telling those stories. So until next week, ride safe and ride happy.